Luke chapter 10, verse number 17. Follow along there. I'm only going to read four verses, but these are good verses here from the Word of God tonight. Luke chapter 10, I hope I wrote down the right verse here. Yes. And he said unto them, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. So in other words, don't get all excited about what he just said, okay? That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What a wonderful truth tonight. Your names are written in heaven. I read that verse and I almost became Pentecostal there for a minute, and I got excited because my name's written in heaven too. And so that Jesus here tells the disciples, here is why you should rejoice. Or in other words, tonight, we're going to talk for a couple of minutes about, in this I rejoice. So the disciples came back, 70 of them, not the 12 disciples. These are 70 converts, if you will, and they've come back from doing some wonderful things. And I'm excited about the things that they did, and so were they. But Jesus says, hang on just a minute. Don't get so excited about casting out demons and healing people and all that. Although that was a very, very vital thing to do. He says, but here's what I want you to get excited about and I want you to rejoice about, that your name is written in heaven. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Why rejoice, or another subtitle, if you will, in this I rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'll make alive tonight these verses that we've read, just a little portion of the life of Jesus Christ and the disciples, Lord, and what he was teaching them. I pray that it'll help us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice also what it said there in verse 21. I didn't continue to read, but it said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Hey, there we go. He left us with an example in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed unto them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And so he says, the Bible says, even Jesus rejoiced in that hour in the spirit. And so forth there. The disciples had seen many victories as they preached Christ and ministered in his name. They had healed the sick. They had even cast out spirits, evil spirits. The Lord reminded them, as I said earlier, of what was the most important thing or fact to rejoice about. And that was that their names were written in heaven. This, by the way, as you read in the scriptures tonight, was a specific command that Jesus gave for them to rejoice about. You know, I know there's a lot of things we can get excited about in Scripture. And I know there's a lot of things that in your life you can get excited about. But here Jesus gives them, this is what we want you, he says, to rejoice about. There are 184 times in the Word of God that you find the word rejoice. There are 28 more times in the Word of God that you find the word rejoicing. So that is a total of, 212 times that you find in the Word of God either rejoice or rejoicing. Philippians 4:4 is one of those places. What does the scripture say there? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And so we see here tonight, in this I rejoice, or why should we rejoice? Think about this passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1. The scriptures there say this, finally, my brethren, rejoice, rejoice. You know, you can find, as I said earlier, people get excited. Boy, I tell you, that hockey game last night, they were rejoicing. I mean, they were getting excited. They were waving those white towels. They were standing up and down when they scored that first goal. When the game got started and they were smashing people against the boards and all that kind of stuff. I went to a game this year too, as you know, somebody had gave us some tickets and it was a wonderful time. We rejoiced. They won 6-0 that night. And that's fine to rejoice about that. But let me tell you, that is minimal compared to the rejoicing that the Bible, that Jesus Christ is talking about here tonight in Scripture. I'm all for having a good time and rejoicing over my favorite team, but I'm more for rejoicing about my name being written in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 9, that Jesus says there, the passage there, Paul writing says this, now I rejoice. And all the way in the book of Revelation, Almost at the end, in Revelation 19, verse number 7, the Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice. So tonight we're going to talk for just a few minutes about this thing of rejoicing. Let us be glad. I like the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know, sometimes we just need to hit the reset button and learn and again to reset our lives and know that even though some things in our lives may be happening that we aren't too happy about or things that come into the life that may not be what we ordered up, if you will, that we have so many things to rejoice about, which means, by the way, to continue to be joyful about. There are a few, these are a few of the many verses dealing with rejoicing that I read to you just a minute ago. Now, let me give you a couple of things tonight about this. In this, I rejoice. Number one, I rejoice in this tonight. And I think we can all rejoice in these things tonight. That is this, number one, that our sins are forgiven. That our sins are forgiven. I rejoice in that tonight. You read in your Bible, if you will, tonight, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, a very familiar passage. The scripture says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9 tells me that my sins are forgiven. They're buried in the depths of the sea. They're buried as far as the east. They're as far as the east is from the west. I'm excited tonight. I rejoice tonight that my sins are forgiven. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12 says this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm glad tonight, number one, that in this I rejoice that my sins are forgiven. I know this is not a new truth to you tonight. I know it's not a new truth to anyone. But the fact of the matter is, everyone is a sinner tonight. Everyone in the room. Everyone in the world tonight has transgressed against the holy God. The Bible tells us that. Over and over in scripture. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Romans 5:12. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As I've said here many times, I'll say it again. You don't have to teach a child how to do wrong. They already know that. Why? Because that's the nature that we're given at birth. But what we do is we bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We try to train them to do what's right and we teach them biblical truths. We teach them what we're talking about here tonight to know that just because our sins are forgiven, by the way, doesn't give us the right to live as worldly as possible and say, well, hey, I can do whatever I want because my sins are forgiven. Pastor Turner said so. Yes, that is true. But tonight the Bible also says that we should flee also youthful lust. The Bible says that we should avoid fornication. We should avoid these things. We should live a, the Bible says, I said this morning in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. I want my heart as a, first off, as a Christian, to be clean. I want my heart, next off, as a husband of 9 years this July, to be clean. I want my heart as a father to my children to be clean. I want my heart as a pastor of the great people here at Anchor Baptist Church to be clean. But the truth tonight is I can rejoice in the fact that my sins are forgiven. You remember the Passover? You remember what happened in the Old Testament and how the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt? Do you remember what happened there as they went through those 10 plagues? They got through the 9th plague and the children of Israel were still in bondage. Pharaoh had lied over 9 times. He said, if you'll do this, I'll let your people go. If you'll get rid of these flies, Moses, I'll let the people go. If you'll get rid of the frogs, I'll let the people go. If you'll get rid of the lice and the darkness and if you'll make sure there's no more hailstorms or anything of that sort, all those 10 plagues, if you'll turn the water from blood back to the real water so we can have something to drink. And over and over again, Moses went to God and they relieved the plagues, but Pharaoh didn't let the people go. Came to the 10th plague and you know what happened? Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, well, okay, God's judgment is going to fall. And God told Moses, go tell the children of Israel to kill a lamb without spot, or without blemish. And tell them to take the blood of that lamb and put it over the sides of the doorposts and over the top of the doorpost as well, the door top and the sides. And tonight, if you have that blood on your doorpost, the death angel will go past your door and go on. But to those that did not have the blood over the doorposts, The death angel went in, and the oldest child was taken that evening, according to in the Old Testament there in Genesis, Exodus. The plagues in Exodus. And that morning, the Bible says, Pharaoh got up, and there was a loud wailing and a loud a sign. Why? Because they had not put the blood on the doorpost, and God's judgment came. God always judges sin, by the way. God is loving, and I preach that, but He's also just. And we must remember that. We must fear God, and not in a being scared of Him, but we must fear Him and for respecting Him. But here's the point. What was that blood a picture of there in Exodus? That blood was a picture of the precious blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Wednesday this week, or during this week, we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ went on an old rugged cross. We sing in our hymn book, He shed His blood. You know, tonight that we can smile and be excited for the fact that that blood was shed, and that blood is at the mercy seat in heaven, atoning for your sins and mine. And we can tonight rejoice in the fact that our sins are forgiven. I'm so glad for that. You know, the Bible tells us we can pay for our own sin. There's only one way a man or a woman or a human being, that is, can pay for their own sin. That's by death. Death in a place called hell. But I'm so glad tonight my sins are forgiven. Praise be to God. In this I rejoice that my sins are forgiven. Number two, in this I rejoice that a heavenly home is being prepared for us as believers. A heavenly home. The Bible says in Colossians 2:13, I missed a verse here, having forgiven your trespasses. Knowing this, that our holy God will forgive us, makes me rejoice. God is not a tyrant or a dictator. Number two, a heavenly home is being prepared for us as believers. Take your Bible and turn over to John chapter number 14, a very familiar passage, but one that bears looking at tonight. John chapter number 14. In this I rejoice. Number one, I rejoice, and tonight we should rejoice. Number one, that our sins are forgiven. Number two, we should rejoice in the fact that a heavenly home is being prepared for us as believers. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So we see in John chapter 14, verse number 2, that there is a heavenly home being prepared for those that have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. A home that will be built in a celestial city, a city with streets of pure gold. A home that will be built in a city with no sickness. A home that will be built in a city with no pain. A home that will be built in a city with no darkness. Won't need light bulbs there. Why? Jesus is the light. You read that in the Bible. We won't need a light bulb. We won't need all these things. There'll be no darkness. I look forward to that. There'll be no crying there. God says, I'll wipe away all tears in the book of Revelation. A city where, amen to this, where we will never grow old. I'm excited about that. Once we get that new body, our body will be like it is forever. I'm thankful for that. Boy, my 29-year-old body went out this week and played basketball with some 13 and 14-year-olds. Oh, that was a mistake. They were running circles around me. Couldn't keep up like I used to be able to keep up. And I felt that the next day. I said, wow, this thing is not ready to do that. I need to get out and jog. I need to get out and exercise. I need to get out because this body here is not in shape right now for that. But once we're given our new body in a heavenly home that's being prepared for us, no more backaches. It'll work just fine. No more knee problems, right? No more difficulties with our body. Tonight I rejoice, number one, in the fact that my sins are forgiven. Number two, I rejoice in the fact that a heavenly home is being prepared for us. Geraldo and his fiance are preparing a home right now. They're cleaning, they're getting, they're painting, they're putting the roof on, they're getting things done, preparing a home. They're going to be married June 28th, and that's exciting. And that's an exciting thing for them to go through. But aren't you glad, Geraldo, that you don't have to worry about preparing your heavenly home? Jesus is up there doing that for you right now. I'm excited about that. You know, tonight the Bible says, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That tonight up in heaven, I have witnesses up there tonight that are looking down here on this service. I have family members that are looking down on this service here tonight that have gone on before me, that their home is being prepared, and maybe it's already done. I don't know, but my home is being prepared, and in this I rejoice. In this I rejoice. This world is not my home. I'm only here for a while. What, maybe 70 years? Maybe 80? How long is that compared to eternity? Bible says your life in James is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. I'm excited tonight, and in this I rejoice that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm thankful for that fact, that Jesus Christ is forgiving my sins and forgives my sins when I go to Him and I ask forgiveness. And number two, I'm in this, I rejoice tonight that a heavenly home is being prepared for me. I got done playing basketball with these teenagers on Wednesday afternoon. And I said, hey guys, let me talk to you for a minute. I said, I appreciate you letting me join in. I just came there with a basketball and said, can I play too? They said, sure. And I had a motive, of course. I wanted to get the gospel to someone. I wanted to invite them to church. I wanted to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. And after I got done, I said, you know, I'm a pastor of a church. I was in a tie and I was in a coat. So they probably wondered what the world was going on. Not a suit coat, but a jacket. And I said, you know, guys, I'm a pastor of a church. And, you know, God loves you. I don't know if you're in church or not. I'm not trying to take you out of your church. That's not my goal. My goal is this, fellas. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Has anybody ever taken the Word of God and shared that with you? And all of them kind of shrugged, you know, I guess. Teenagers, that's their mode of communication, just shrug. They don't really speak much. They just, at least that age of teenager. And so I said, let me take a couple of minutes and share a story with you from the Bible. I took out my New Testament. I didn't have my whole Bible with me. Took out my New Testament that I had in my back pocket, and I went down through what we call the Romans Road. In our blue track that we have, it has the Romans Road in there, and how someone can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. And these young boys, probably 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, anywhere in between there, some of them dwarfed me. Felt kind of small right next to them. But I said, you know, God is preparing a heavenly home for you. There's only one way you can get to that heavenly home, and that's through Jesus Christ. I was able to share the gospel with them this Wednesday, and several of them made decisions for the Lord, and I was excited about that. And you know, when I was 9 years old, 20 years ago this month, April of 1983, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and hence began the preparation for my heavenly home. And in this I rejoice tonight. And this is also available to everyone under the sound of my voice. It's also available to everyone outside the sound of my voice. If they'll come to Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, He'll prepare a home for them. So, we need to rejoice. Jesus told the disciples, hey fellas, I know you did some great things, but hold on just a second. In this rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. So I rejoice in the fact, number one, that my sins are forgiven. Another song I like is, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. Thank God for His blood and the fact that Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Number two, a heavenly home is being prepared for believers to be living in it and someday in the new Jerusalem. Number three, in this I rejoice that my need will be supplied. How about that? Anybody else have a need tonight? Take the Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, familiar verse, but a very powerful verse. Philippians chapter 4 in the New Testament, verse number 19. Philippians 4, verse number 19. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. All I want us to do tonight is go out of here rejoicing. Not rejoicing that you got to hear me preach tonight, because that's not going to make anybody rejoice, but in rejoicing that the truth of the Word of God is that you have so many things to be rejoicing about. These are just a little bit tonight. I'm thankful tonight for my health. You know, in the snap of a finger, God can take my health from me. And if He does, then that's fine. You read in the Bible of men and women that served the Lord and they had thorn in the flesh. Paul had, we don't know what that was exactly, but he had a thorn in the flesh. And we see over and over again that God takes the health of certain people for whatever reason, I believe, so they can testify more for Him or whatever it might be. But I am rejoicing tonight, and it's not in my notes, but I'm rejoicing tonight that I was able to get out of bed this morning. You know, we ought to rejoice tonight that we were able to all walk and get in a car and come here. Or we were able to all hop on the bus. Or we were able to walk here. Or we have the ability to think tonight and understand what's being said tonight. Boy, what a thing to rejoice about. I thank God for that. Number three, in this I rejoice that my need will be supplied. Notice Philippians 4, verse number 19. Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need. By the way, notice it's singular. All your need. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something very interesting here, and I noticed this for the first time. I've known this verse. I memorized it a long time ago. But notice the word before God. It's my. Paul is the author of this verse through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. But he's the writer of these words, the guy that held the pen, okay? And he says, but my God. That means here that Paul has a personal relationship with God. It's not, he didn't say, but your God. He didn't say, but God. He didn't say, but the God or a God. He said, but my God shall supply all your need. He refers to God as his. God knows the need you have tonight. Everybody in the room, if I said, write me a list of needs, you would have it. I have mine. You have yours. God knows what is on your list. And you know, I believe the best way that we get our needs met by God is we help meet the need of others. I think tonight that if I know that my brother or sister has a need, and I go and I try to help them meet that need, I'm not talking about money necessarily, but that may be one need. Maybe somebody needs help doing this. Maybe somebody needs help doing that. I believe very, very, very profoundly in my life, this has been the way it's worked. Anytime I help somebody with their need, then I believe that activates God to help me meet my needs. Paul says, my God shall supply all your need. And notice what he said. How will he supply? According to the bank? No. According to the credit card company? No. He says according to His riches. You know, we have a song in our hymn book. Maybe you've heard it before. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mind. He owns the rivers and the rocks and the rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. He is my Father, so they're mine as well. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Tonight, what is your need? Maybe it is a financial need. God knows that. What is your need tonight? Maybe it is a spiritual need. God knows the need that you have. God knows the need that I have. God knows the need of His children. When we help the need to meet the need of others, this activates God's meeting our need. God is a debtor to no one. I rejoice in the fact that God will supply my need. I get up in the morning and I thank God for another day to serve Him. I get up in the morning and I thank God for another day to breathe air. You know, by the way, this air that I'm breathing is not my air. It's God's air. God created the world. God created everything I have. And I'm just on loan right now. My parents used to tell me that they're glad that I was their parent, but their child. But I was just on loan to them for 18 or 19 years. And then I was going to be gone. And I know I have 2 children tonight. One will be 7 and one will be 4 in a few days. And in a few years, they'll be gone. I only have so much time to influence them. I only have so much time to help them with their need, whatever it might be. But my God shall supply all your need. I rejoice in that. I rejoice that He cares about the $5 lapel clip that our church needed. $5. What's $5? But we got 2 of them free. Why? My God shall supply all your need. He's looking out for us. Number 4, let me give you this lastly. In this I rejoice. I rejoice in the fellowship and friendship with the redeemed. The fellowship and friendship with the redeemed. Let me read a passage to you from 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. Let me read a couple of verses there. Verse number 3, the Bible says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's 1 John 1:3-7. Tonight, I rejoice in the fact that we, tonight, those of us right here in this room and others, we have common ground which to fellowship on. We have been brought together by one event in history. And I know there are some in the room tonight that have not been in church much in their life. And some of this is brand new. But tonight we have the Anchor Baptist Church because of one event, when Jesus went to Calvary. And when Jesus rose the third day. We have fellowship tonight as brethren and sisters in Christ because of that great event, that we can have friendship with the redeemed. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in the friendships that in the last 3 years since moving from the States and making this our home now, I rejoice in the friendship and the fellowship of the redeemed here. I rejoice in that tonight. We can rejoice tonight because our sins are forgiven. We can rejoice tonight because our names are written down in heaven if we've trusted Jesus Christ as the only way to get there. We can rejoice tonight that our mansion is being prepared. We can rejoice tonight that our Heavenly Father wants to meet our every need. Rejoice tonight, there are many with which tonight we can fellowship because of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. You know what it says right after that? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, three words, pray without ceasing. You know, I think maybe that prayer and rejoicing go hand in hand. In order to rejoice, I think we need to have we've been talking a lot about prayer. We talked a little bit about this morning as well. And that's one thing that I've tried to work on in my life, is to take more time in prayer. In order to rejoice, we must pray without ceasing. What's the Bible say? We read it earlier in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then you know what it says in Philippians 4:6? It says that we must be in prayer and supplication. Two verses later, talking about prayer, right in the same sentences of rejoicing. Our faith should not be sullen or sour. But tonight, you know, like biting into a lemon. Ever give your kid a lemon and let them bite into it? They didn't know what it was, maybe, or whatever. Boy, that really takes them. The sourness of the lemon. I know some people like to eat lemons. But that's not how I want my faith to be. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me, I plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. I'm rejoicing tonight in the joy that I can have. We should be joyous, even if those around us are frowning. Why? Number one, my sins are forgiven, and so are yours. Number two, I have a home, and so do you, in heaven, being prepared for us. Number three, our needs will be supplied. And number four, we can have fellowship one with another, fellowship and friendship with the redeemed. Tonight, the question is this: are we a rejoicing individual? Are we a rejoicing people? Are we a happy people? Sure, we're going to be sad, but ultimately, we can, as the little chorus says, and my kids love to sing it at home, we can have the joy down in my heart. And if the devil doesn't like it, you know what he can do? He can sit on a bomb. Because I've got the joy down in my heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the joy that you give to us. Thank you for your sending your perfect gift in your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross. Lord, tonight I pray that we would hit the reset button, if you will, or we would reevaluate and we would determine to have true joy in our hearts. Tonight, we can't have true joy unless we've come to know the one that gives true joy, Jesus. Tonight, if we're here and we're not sure we're on our way to heaven, the Bible tells us how we can know for sure we're on our way to heaven. And it's through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I thank you for that fact tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe in something that was said tonight, or a verse that was read, a portion of scripture that was read, maybe it touched your heart. And all I'd ask you to do is this evening. Make sure that you are thankful and you're rejoicing for what God has done in your life. You say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for tonight. Oh, you have much to be thankful for. You have much to rejoice about tonight. I just gave four or five things that are exciting and that we can be rejoicing about this evening. Let me ask you this evening. Are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? If there's that doubt in your mind that you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you allow me to take the Bible sometime, maybe at another setting? Or would you come to me and just say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know that. I don't know exactly what that means. Could you help me with that? We can help you with that. Tonight, maybe there's a burden on your heart and you need to do, as the song says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Anytime I try to carry around a burden on my shoulders, it takes over my life. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have a couple of verses of invitation tonight. If you'd like to come and do business with the Lord tonight in some way, shape, or form, if you need someone to pray with you tonight, I'd be glad to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight again for meeting with us. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts during the invitation. I pray that you would allow us and help us to make decisions in our life tonight in by way of rejoicing. I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that you have forgiven us of our sins. I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that you are preparing a home in heaven for us. Meet our needs now during the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand where you're at this evening with our heads bowed and eyes closed? The music's going to play just for a moment. If there's some need that you have in your heart tonight and you'd like to have someone pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe tonight you're not sure of heaven. You'd like to come and have prayer or in some way, shape, or form. You want to know more about this thing of eternal life. We can help you with that according to the Bible. The music will play just for a moment. What about it tonight? Do you need to be more of a rejoicing Christian? I pray and trust tonight we'll all determine to do that. The music will play just for a moment, then we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, I thank you tonight for the opportunity to be in church. I do pray now that you will give us safety as we return to our homes. And I pray that you'll give us a good week this week. As you give us opportunity, Lord, to witness for you, may we do that. I pray that you'd bless the flyers as they're distributed in the community this week. Lord, that you would bless those. And Lord, if someone would join with us next week that's not sure of heaven, Lord, that maybe through these flyers they would be able to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I thank you for those that have come out this evening on a little bit of a rainy night. Thank you for our guests that have joined with us tonight. Again, watch over us. Be with those that are not feeling well this evening. Touch their bodies. Help them to feel better. Those that are away, Lord, as they travel and come back to this area, give them safety. Again, thank you for this church. Thank you for the Savior who we want to do our best to uplift and glorify here. In Jesus' precious name, amen.